This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile. And with me today is Donald Michael Craig. He's an author, a lecturer, and a tantric practitioner. A man who has a degree in philosophy from UCLA, but has gone on to teach Kabbalah, Tarot, Magic, Tantra, and Sex Magic for over 10 years. He's an initiated tantric, and he's currently studying for his doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy. Don is the author of Modern Sex Magic and a contributor to the book Ecstasy Through Tantra.
Sex magic is simply a technique. Part of the concept of magic is that beside having the knowledge and the desire and the goal, there needs to be energy sent toward that. Now, the first time you do this, you may not sense it. Maybe the 10th time you won't sense it. But after a while, you will be able to feel an object between your hands. Basic idea of visualization is being able to see in the mind's eye. You can become so focused on the sexuality that you can, through the use of a symbol, as I described earlier, something that you just look at, get that information directly into your subconscious, charged by that sexual energy that you have been generating through the wonderful and delicious experience of sexual and sensual excitation.
Welcome, Don.
Thank you very much, and hello and greetings to everybody listening.
Now, Don, I've enticed and invited you on today because no one has yet spoken about sex magic. We've talked about, you know, breath and tantra and, you know, a little bit about the chakras, but not about sex magic. And I think, you know, people know, I have a general idea what sex is. Could you tell us to start, what is magic? What do we mean by that?
Ah, okay. Magic is what they show in the movies. The idea of magic is, well, the most popular definition is that it's the art and science of creating change to occur in conformity with will. Now, by that, I mean that it's an art and a science. Some people are naturally skilled, but others can learn it through practice. Of creating change, a change in your environment, a change of things around you, according to your will. That is, your conscious mind determines you want something, and then through some means not currently understood, we create it in our lives. And it's not like wave a wand and immediately a pile of money appears at your feet. What happens is when you create these things, when you start these processes in motion through visualization, through ritual, through the direction of the energies that are within us toward a goal, it starts the process that brings them into manifestation.
Is this similar, Don, to what people are talking about and seeing in the film The Secret, where we put our, in a sense, our focus, our energy, our emotional energy, and our thoughts, energy, that's what gets created?
Well, to use magical terms, I would say, mathematical terms, I would say that magic is a superset of the ideas that were presented in The Secret. That is, The Secret is a tiny aspect of what real magic is. So let's say that you had 1,000 possible dinners in front of you. If those 1,000 dinners are magic, then the secret would be just maybe one of those dishes. So magic does a lot more, has a lot more techniques and practices, but the concepts that were revealed in The Secret are absolutely part of magic.
And so magic is broader than The Secret, but it's a similar concept of where our focus and energy starts. That's what's going to happen in the world. Now,
precisely. But the question is, how do you get that to manifest? And magic has an enormous variety of techniques that you can use to actually get that to occur. Now, as you may know, a lot of people who really haven't read The Secret too well think that it's just, well, if I think about it, then it will happen. That's not true. There are other things, because if you just think about anything, our experience shows us that things don't simply happen. There's much more to it. And magic has the secret keys, although they're not so secret anymore, but it has the keys to revealing the techniques that anybody can use to achieve those goals.
Now, is sex magic one of those techniques?
Absolutely. Sex magic is simply a technique. Part of the concept of magic is that beside having the knowledge and the desire and the goal, there needs to be energy sent toward that. Now, energy is simply the ability to accomplish work. If you look up energy in the dictionary, that's what it says, the ability to do work. And in sex magic, we use the energy that is generated during sexual activity or sensual activity to effect the magic that we are working with. The example of energy that I like to give in this is the famous archetype of a couple having sex and then the man rolls over and goes to sleep while the woman is, she's still energized. Well, there's a big difference in that energy. One person is drained and another person still has energy. And the question is that simple physical exertion? I don't think so. I think there's something that is far more to it. And in fact, when we perform sensual and sexual activities, the result is that our energy, our inner energy, can be moved throughout our body. People here may have heard people talk about moving energy. Sexuality automatically moves that energy, and our minds can direct it. And sex magic simply directs that energy toward a particular goal. And then the techniques of sex magic are ways to help us achieve that.
So let me kind of clarify a bit here, Don, is that when we're engaged in sexual activity, whether that's, you know, manually stimulating or orally stimulating or, telling delicious erotic tales to one another or having intercourse, that we're creating an energy just by doing that.
Absolutely. The problem is that people don't realize that that energy it can be used. There's another example that I like to give, which is outside of the sexual realm, and that's going to a sports game, such as a big football game. I don't mean watching it on TV, but actually being there. And many times you will hear people say, oh, the energy has changed, and you can feel how people are knowing that the home team or the visitors are going to win, even though they haven't made that move yet on the field. That's that same sort of energy that is moving all around that we can grab, we can use, we can direct for any sort of purpose that we want.
Are some people better able to feel or sense energy? And if someone is not as, you know, skilled at that, is there a way to develop the ability to feel and sense energy?
Absolutely. There are a yes to both of your questions. First, there are some people who are naturally able to sense it. That's why, as I said earlier, magic is an art and science. Some people just artistically, so to speak, are much better at capturing that sensation. But since it's a science, it can also be learned. Now, one of the easiest ways to learn this, and one of the ones that I teach, is known as creating the energy ball. And the way that works is simply this. Rub your hands together very quickly until they get warm. That is, by creating friction. Then separate your hands and hold them approximately 1 foot apart, palms facing each other. Now slowly move your hands together until you sense or feel a resistance. Now the first time you do this, you may not sense it. Maybe the 10th time you won't sense it. But after a while, you will be able to feel an object between your hands. This is what is known as an energy ball. And with practice, rubbing your hands more, sending visualization, using your breathing to visualize more energy going into that ball, you can make it larger. You can make it smaller. It may not even feel like a ball. It may feel like a box or some sort of multi-sided figure. But the idea is the more you work with that, the more you sense that, the more you will be easily able to feel and appreciate energy that you create in sexuality and in other situations in the world around you.
You know, Don, I want to talk more about how we sense this energy, how we work about it, work with it in sexuality, and the concept of visualization. You know, what is visualization? After we come back from this break and a word from our amazing sponsors, and I want to just say one word about our sponsors, is that we have picked the most delicious and delectable sponsors to support these shows with items that are erotic or beautiful, and I want to encourage our listening audience to use our the code Tantra when they're connecting with these sponsors and sponsor this show, if you like this show, by supporting them. And we'll be back in a moment.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex with Donald Michael Craig, who is the author of Modern Sex Magic and a contributor to the book Ecstasy Through Tantra. Studying for his doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy, an initiated tantric. And we were just talking about energy and how we sense it and how we work with it. And I wanted to, you mentioned the term visualization. Before we go any further, could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. In fact, it seems like every week and even more often, I get emails and snail mails from people saying, I can't visualize. So clarifying that, I think, is very, very important. The basic idea of visualization is being able to see in the mind's eye. That is, use your powers of imagination to see something you want. But here's the catch. Not everybody is able to easily see. And what is it that they are seeing anyway? Well, what we like to say is that there is another level of reality, of existence, which, for lack of a better term, we'll just call the astral plane. And things which are on the astral plane have a duplicate on our physical plane. I imagine people who are listening have heard the expression the astral body or the astral double and so forth. And the truth of the matter is we do not have astral bodies or astral doubles because we have the physical, but rather when something comes into being on the astral plane, eventually it has to manifest on the physical. The astral comes first.
Is this similar to that before anything exists in reality, it's an idea. Before Edison, you know, created the light bulb, he had the idea for the light bulb.
Absolutely. Edison did that. Tesla did that. There's also Wagner. There's a story of how while he was in a coach going through the Black Forest in Germany, he suddenly ran out of the coach screaming to everyone, "Don't you hear it? All this beautiful music." And then he just wrote down what he heard. And that's the interesting thing, is that visualization does not mean that you have to see. Visualization can be hearing, it can be taste, it can be just a sensation or feeling of something. And the fact is, if you are sure that you have created something on the astral plane, I don't mean believe or hope or think, but absolutely know, yes, I have created this on the astral plane. Whether you see it in your mind's eye, whether you hear it in your mind's hearing, or whether you feel it with your astral sense of touch is not as important as the fact that you know it is there. And that's because we also have certain senses known as the astral senses, which allow us to see onto the astral plane. That's known as clairvoyance, or hear on the astral plane, that's called clairsentience, or feel on the astral plane, that's called clairsentience. For hearing, it's known as clairaudience. And with practice, we will develop those senses until we can see, hear, and feel easily on the astral plane. But the important thing is knowing that we have created it so that we have it on the astral plane, whether we see it or not. And that is the process of visualization.
And this is definitely different than fantasy. Fantasy is, could you say a little bit different about the difference between fantasy and visualization, and then how would we use this in our sex magic?
Oh, absolutely. Fantasy is simply creating things that you do not believe in. Dumbo with the big ears. Wow, that's very cool. An elephant with giant ears. I don't believe that an elephant with giant ears can fly. That's just a fantasy. But with visualization, the idea is, you know, I can see in my mind that there are such things as elephants, and I'm going to create one on the astral plane and then bring that into manifestation here. Now, part of the key to sex magic was actually written by a famous Jewish rabbi named Nachmanides, who lived primarily in the 13th century. And he wrote a book which was called the Igaret HaKodesh, which means the Holy Letter. And there is a book on this which people can find called The Holy Letter. I believe it's out of print now, so people may need to search used bookstores and used book sites for it. But The Holy Letter reveals that one of the basic secrets of sex magic is that the idea held at orgasm will come to pass. That is, whatever you are thinking at orgasm, which is the point where that energy that you have generated, that wonderful, juicy, erotic energy, that point when it is released at orgasm can be directed toward a purpose, and it has, and it can produce magical results. But that is part of the problem. You see, there was a very famous psychologist named Wilhelm Reich, and he believed in something that was called the potent orgasm. And the idea of the potent orgasm is that you have to focus all of your attention on the orgasm. That is, you can't be focusing on, is my partner feeling good? Is my partner enjoying this? Am I doing this right? Gee, this feels good. Instead, what you need to do is experience this animal-like release, this total passionate, juicy explosion of energy. So how can you keep a concept in your mind while you are having this explosive orgasm where all you are experiencing is the orgasm. And in my book, Modern Sex Magic, I give several ways of doing that. The easiest way is to make a symbol that you can look at. So, for example, if you were in need of money, you might just put a dollar sign or a pound sign or a lira sign on a piece of paper so you can see it while you are having that orgasmic experience. And then you can focus on having the orgasm, and every time you look at that symbol, that's encoded into your unconscious mind, linking the energy with the desire. And it's those two together can help produce the goal.
And it's possible to also focus on your partner to create a wonderful connection and communion with your partner while doing this. It's unlike Wilhelm Reich, we don't have to forget about our partner and just focus on ourselves. It can include all of it. And even though it sounds a little bit like juggling, I'm guessing like any juggler, over time it becomes easeful to really be balancing all these things.
Well, yes. And of course, with experience and practice, which is one of the wonderfully fun things about this form of magic, you can do this and almost put it into, I hesitate to use the term automatic, but because that implies that you are not focused on the sexuality and on the magic. And one of the things that is important in sacred sexuality, or at least I believe, is that it not simply be, okay, honey, I'll give you one tonight, but rather it is a true sharing and positive experience and growth experience for both partners. Now, the importance, or one important thing of sex magic, however, is that while it can be, as you said, an incredible experience for both partners, where you share energy, love, passion for each other, it can also be for one person by himself or herself. So that means that each person can develop their own energy, and in some cases, it can also be where a partner is focused just on giving pleasure to his or her partner so that they are entirely focused on the magic. So in some cases, this is not about love and romance and enhancing relationships and depth of commitment, but it can also be focused on just achieving the magic. And again, this is explained in far more detail than we can do right now in my book, Modern Sex Magic.
And when we say focused on the magic, we're meaning focused on the visualization, focused on this astral creation that we want to bring into existence that will bring more money into our lives, or will bring a new job, or will bring greater happiness, or another house, or you know, whatever it is that we're wanting to manifest, bring into the actual reality, the everyday life. We're putting our energy into it in the sexual act.
Absolutely. And there's a little bit more to it also. And this goes into something which many people have heard of, and that is what's called creative visualization and positive affirmations.
You know, I want to talk more about that after
okay.
We come back from a break. And also, I want to talk about so many things. I want to talk about ritual, like what an actual ritual might look like in sex magic, that creative visualization, positive affirmation. And also, I have this little niggling question in my mind. You know, do I have to leave my religion or something, or is it bad for my whatever religion I'm in if I'm practicing sex magic? So I want to talk about that after we come back from a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors that we really adore if you support by putting in the word Tantra when you go to any of these sponsors. And we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to life in an orgasm-based community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
Well, Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex with Donald Michael Craig, author of Modern Sex Magic and contributor to Ecstasy Through Tantra. And I just want to get back in because there's so many things and we have a few minutes left. And the whole religion aspect, could you just touch on that for us? Do we need to leave our religion to do this?
Well, I don't think so at all, because this is about the spiritual world and spirituality, not any particular religion. Certainly some people who are very dogmatic in any religion they practice might not be interested in practicing sexual magic because of strict religious laws that they feel they need to obey. But I would say that the vast majority of people, no matter what your religion or spiritual beliefs, or even if you are an atheist or an agnostic and don't have them, you could certainly practice sex magic with a great deal of zeal and power and passion.
Yay. And could you talk, you had just talked a little bit about creative visualization and positive affirmation before the break. Could you just explain a little bit more how that is the next level of kind of the...
Yes, there is a slight problem with both of those, because when you visualize something, as we talked about earlier, or when you do positive affirmations, that's where you say something, so you are saying it over and over to yourself, both of those are working through your conscious mind. And the problem with that is that it is through our subconscious or our unconscious that we have a direct link to the astral plane where things are created. So the goal has to be to get that information past our conscious minds and into our subconscious minds. And that is one of the ways that sex magic can really help, because if you are involved in passionate sexuality, whether it is by yourself, with a partner, or with multiple partners even, you can become so focused on the sexuality that you can, through the use of a symbol, as I described earlier, something that you just look at, get that information directly into your subconscious, charge it, and charged by that sexual energy that you have been generating through the wonderful and delicious experience of sexual and sensual excitation. I'd like to share with everybody, if I may, what a ritual of sex magic might be like.
I'd love that.
Okay. First, you start out by determining what your goal is. And there's actually a little bit more to that than people might think. And I would advise once again, and I won't dwell on this, but I have full explanations of this in my book, Modern Sex Magic. But let's say that you picked a goal, and your goal was to get $100, that you needed $100. So to represent that, you might take a dollar sign and then scribble all over the dollar sign. Now, why scribble all over it? Because to your conscious mind, that makes no sense. But your unconscious mind will know exactly what it looks like and exactly what it means. And then make duplicate copies of it. You can just photocopy them and place them all over your room. Now here, you can prepare your room as much as you like. You might have candles burning, smell the incense wafting through the room, and certainly you would want to have a beautiful, perhaps, a bed, a bed with pillows and scarves and all sorts of beautiful accoutrements. You begin by taking a bath or a shower to cleanse the body. Be sure to brush your teeth so you're cleansing your mouth also. You might anoint yourself with sweet-smelling perfumes or ointments. And then together you come into the room. And here you might honor yourselves by blessing the person you are with. Tell each person what you particularly like about them, their beauty, their wisdom. It's important that you are honest, because people know if you're not telling the truth. And then it comes down to the lovemaking. Begin your lovemaking. Let it begin slowly and build it with passion. Think of it in terms of winding up a big electronic generator. The longer it goes, the better. And you build it up, and you build it up, and build it up, and simply continue to build up your lovemaking until you are ready to reach that highest level, that highest point of orgasm, at which point all you have to do is open your eyes and look around. No matter where you are facing, you should be able to see that image. And then afterwards, you simply hold each other, thank each other, caress each other. And then together you can take down your holy temple, if you will, your sacred site. Now, one thing that I mentioned there was the idea of building up the energy and letting it build. Well, the fact is, the longer it builds, up to a certain point, the better. So perhaps some other time we can come back and we can discuss the idea of extending the time that men can have sex before they ejaculate and have to stop for a while. That is, extending the period of sex before orgasm.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, Don. I was just thinking that, is how do we give people information to support their really extending and enjoying this extension of building erotic energy between them. But we've run out of time for today, and I just wanted to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom and knowledge.
Well, it was absolutely my pleasure. And one of the things I like to say when I'm leaving is the tantric expression, namaste. And namaste cannot actually be translated directly, but my favorite interpretation of it is, that which is of the gods in me honors and appreciates that which is of the gods in you. So, namaste.
Thank you. And I just wanted to let all of our listeners know that if you wanted to leave a message, a phone message for myself or Don, you can do that at 206-350-5333. That's 206-350-5333. Please let us know that you're calling for this show. And also, if you wanted to get a transcript from this show and contact Don in all of the various wonderful ways to contact him and find his book, you can do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. Thank you for joining us on Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.